In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purpose of heaven, God is. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, God will be. Not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. God was, God is, God will be.
Friends, we just read these words, here and now among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purpose of heaven. I know no greater purpose of heaven than the spreading of peace, the gift that Christ left with us before he ascended back into heaven. And so here and now, let us do the purpose of heaven. Let us spread peace. The peace of Christ be with you. Now share it with one another. A little bit. We're getting there. Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
That sounded great. My name is Amy Freeman, and I would like to welcome you to the First Congregational Church, United Church of Christ here in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. We're so happy to have you here today on All Saints Sunday. I just wanted to say a couple of words about who we are. We are an open and affirming church, and that phrase meant a lot to my husband and myself when we decided to join the church 3.5 years ago, when we were looking for a church together before we got married and decided to settle here in the Berkshires. That meant the most to us in the beliefs of the church, and it really stood out coming from two very, very different Christian faiths. So we've been here for 3.5 years, and we're just very grateful for the welcome and the love and the embracing that you've shown us since we've been here, and that's why we intend to stay. And I just wanted to welcome you to church today and give you a little bit of information about our background and what this means to us. And at this time, I would like to invite people to come up for announcements. And before I do that, I would like people to know if there's anybody visiting today, if we do not have your information, please feel free to fill out this card that should be sitting in front of you on the pew and hand this into one of us, and we will take care of it and we will be in touch. But at this time, we'd like to invite anyone to come up for morning announcements. Thank you.
I do have an announcement to share with you this morning. You will notice that there is a white rose on our communion table this morning. We place a white rose when a member or friend of this church has passed away. I bring you news this morning that on Saturday morning, Jane Fitzpatrick peacefully and in her sleep passed away and joined the company of saints in heaven. She was at home in bed with her family by her side. She was comfortable and at peace. But we have lost a great member of our community and a wonderful member of our church. Before we continue with our announcements, let us just take a moment of silence. Amen.
Good morning. My name is David Andreg, and I'm here on behalf of the Stewardship Committee. We have heard via the grapevine that not all of you received pledge cards in the mail. Not quite sure why that oversight happened. But we're very happy that pledges are rolling in like a mighty wave, and we hope that to see that continue. So if you did not get a pledge card in the mail, they will be available at coffee hour, and you can fill one out and turn it into the church office so we can keep them rolling in like a mighty wave. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Terry Wise. Last Sunday, I had the privilege to be in New Orleans as a tourist for the first time in my life. After being there for five of our mission trips, post-Katrina rebuilding trips, including one youth group trip. And I was encouraged by Anne Hutchinson to go back and visit the church where we stayed, Central St. Matthew's. And I'll tell you, it was just the most wonderful experience to be there again and to see them still moving down this joined path journey together as a community. And a number of people recognized me as familiar, and our dear friend Dale Bonds even remembered my name, which was really lovely. And so we had a number of great conversations. I did discern that things are moving along really well in New Orleans now. By my eye, things looked really, really good. The parks are up and flourishing, and people are using them, and the neighborhoods are healing. Most houses are restored. Services are beginning to come in even to the poorer neighborhoods, so that's a really, really good thing. Let's just hope Mother Nature holds back from here on out. But I just wanted to tell you that, especially for all of you who have been on these trips and have been in that congregation and felt their warm embrace, I send you their greetings and their love.
For your announcements. At this time, we'd like to invite all of the children up here, please. That's right, crisscross applesauce. That's perfect. Everyone can move up a little bit so I can see your beautiful faces. Thank you. Thank you for being here. So this morning, we are focusing on the scripture from 2 Thessalonians 2, 15. And I'm going to read it to you, and then we're going to talk about something. Okay? So it's very short, and just listen, and then we'll do something after that. So verse 15 says, "So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter." So we're going to talk about traditions this morning, okay? And I think that you all probably have some traditions in your home that you have followed every single day since you were very, very little. What about bedtime traditions? Do you do the same thing pretty much every night, except for you, James. Okay. James changes it up every night. But it's pretty traditional. We have a 2.5-year-old that we try to keep true tradition to get her to go to sleep, which doesn't always work. But let's think of some things that you do at night before you go to bed. So it starts off with what? Maybe it starts off with having a nice dinner. Okay, and does anyone have a little prayer before dinner? Some people do that. So I have a picture of a little girl who's praying before dinner. Can someone hold this for me and hold it up so everyone can see it? James? Okay, I have plenty. And then it's time for dinner. Okay, why don't you hold this up high so people can see it? All right. And then after dinner, where do you guys go? You go to bed. Do you do anything before you go to bed, maybe to get clean? Go ahead. Brush teeth, that's right. I have one for brushing teeth. I have a little boy with a great smile and a great set of teeth because he's been brushing them, which is great. Good for him. And maybe bath time? Does anybody maybe take a bath before bed because they've been playing in the sand a lot? Digging with construction equipment, most likely. And then it's time to put on what? Pajamas? Okay, why don't you hold this? I have a little baby in his or her pajamas. Very cute and snuggly. Here you go. Why don't you hold that? And then what about, do you read anything before you go to bed? Do you read a book? How many books do you usually read? Five. Whoa. Whoa, so that's one patient mommy, Ivy. Okay, why don't we hold this up? Can we pass this down so everyone can hold something up? Here we go. All right. And then maybe a little prayer, or we call them good nights. Before we go to bed, we say good night to all the special people in our lives, kind of like a prayer. Can you hold that up? You want to hold that up? Okay. And then the last one is a sleeping baby. That's what we hope will happen, but does not always happen. But that's okay. We'll all get through it. We will get some sleep at some point. So these are traditions, and I'm talking about traditions this morning. But let's put those down and think about the traditions we have when you walk into church on a Sunday. Do you ever think about what you're going to do when you go to church? Do you ever think about what you maybe repeat or do as a routine every single week? Have you ever thought about that? Well, let's think about it. Okay? So you come to church in this beautiful setting of the Berkshires. You're very, very fortunate. It's a beautiful place. Huh? You want to hold this? Okay. That kind of reminds me of a church up in Littleton, New Hampshire, or Franconia Notch. It's very pretty. And then who do you see when you walk in?
People.
You see people. Do you see your buddies, your friends? Maybe your friends you haven't seen for a long time or a couple of weeks, and that's great. I always look forward to seeing my friends at church. So why don't we pass this down? Hold it up so everyone can see. What else do you do when you come and sit down? Does anyone like to do this? Does anyone like to sing? You do. Good. I like to sing too. So that's something you do at church. And then everyone says, "Welcome to church. We're so happy to have you." And you feel warm in your heart. And this is our welcome to church sign. Here you go. And then what did we just do? Did we just do the passing of the peace? Passing of the peace. And this is a dove, which is a symbol of peace. So that's why I have this on here. Okay, you hold. Why don't you pass this down so everyone has things to hold? Oh, thank you. I know. I've given you a lot. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. Now, what about this? Do you ever read Bible stories or hear stories from the Bible when you're here at church or in Sunday school? Yes. So this is a little boy who's reading the Bible. And then it's time for a prayer. So we pray. You go. After this, where do you go? You go to Sunday school? That's right. And that's fun. You learn lots there. here, but you know what? Once a month, we ask for you to come back. And what do we have you do? We have you partake in communion. That's right. So communion is very special. So we'll do that. We'll do that soon, and we'll teach you all about that. Do you take communion? Do you remember? Pretty soon you will, I'm sure. Oh, strawberries. Well, that's always a good idea. So, good. This is very special for you to be following these traditions each week, and we do them so you'll learn these routines and you'll be able to create traditions that you'll be able to pass down to your families and teach your children about and your grandchildren about down the road. And this is very special. So I wanted to talk to you about traditions today, and thank you for being wonderful listeners and prop holders. And at this time, let's come together in a circle and say the Lord's Prayer. Okay? Okay. All right, let's all come together. Rebecca, you come too. You're okay. Okay. All right. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for being here. Have a good class.
Our scripture reading this morning starts out with a story about the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection, and someone told me once that is why they were sad, you see. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore, because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to God all of them are alive. May God add a blessing of understanding to these words.
There's a wine press in God.
Sisters and brothers, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. To ask a question about death is only human. To want to know what eternal life might look like is only natural. To wonder how all of our human variables and relationships are going to play out in heaven is only good and right. But this question this morning from the Sadducees to Jesus, the one that Luke captures for us today, comes out of neither human nor good nor natural inclinations. Instead, this is a trick question. It is a question designed to confuse Jesus with all of the variables. Now, as I read this passage this week over and over and over again, I could not help but remember a classic and hated trick question from high school exams. You might have had your own, but here's the one that I remember. It went something like this. There is a train, and the train leaves the station heading west at 30 miles an hour. You remember this one, right? My teacher would elaborate and say, that train, it's painted purple, and it's carrying rubber bands, a marching band, and three elephants. A second train leaves 1 hour later, also headed west. It is carrying toothpaste, motor oil, and a particularly grumpy orangutan. The sky is sunny and the temperature is 48 degrees. How long before the second train catches up to the first train? You remember that question, right? That question is just like the Sadducees' question, one with a whole bunch of meaningless variables, variables that are seeking to confuse what is actually a fairly simple answer. This kind of question teaches us to wade through all of those variables to focus on what matters. And Jesus rises once again to the occasion. In a simple answer, he cuts through all of those variables that the Sadducees puts there and gets them to focus on what matters. That God was, God is, and God always will be. He wants those who are grieving and mourning to know that to God, did you hear it? All of us are alive. Whether our hearts beat or not, whether our lungs draw air or not, we are alive to God. God is with us. God's promise remains sure and true and real. Jesus doesn't answer the Sadducees' trick question. Instead, he tells them what matters. This year, as we come together to mark All Saints Sunday, a day where we honor those who have gone before us, those whose lives have been lovely, true, and brave, we have to stop and recognize that we as a church have had more than our fair share of chances to ask questions about death this year. We have had more than our fair share of times to celebrate lives. With the passing of Jane Fitzpatrick yesterday, it brings to total 13 the number of members or friends of this congregation who have passed away and yet are still alive before God just since January. I know that I have seen many of you at many funerals this year, each of them encompassing their own set of variables, variables that I think do matter. Some of the families desired long formal funerals, while others simply gathered right up here in a circle with a guitar. Some have had elaborate and gorgeous music, while others chose a couple simple hymns. But at the core, no matter what happens when a family gets together and how they choose to tell stories, pray, sing, and cry, what really matters in a funeral is that we come together to grieve and mourn. We come together to prepare ourselves to entrust our loved ones to God. And here, Jesus doesn't give us the specifics of exactly what life looks like in heaven, but he tells us this: what matters is that to our God, our loved ones are alive. They are participating in the life of God. They are drawn together in that life as one. In a recent funeral, I referenced a quote by Anne Lamott. Anne said this. She said that until we fully acknowledge our loss, and until we are able to fully give that loss over to God, we ourselves remain stuck. We remain holding on. Anne says that we have to trust God and fully let go, not of the memories or love, hold on and cherish those, not just mourn and cry, but let go of the tough parts, of letting go of the fact that we no longer are able to care for them. Letting go of the guilt of all those things that we may not have done quite perfectly while they were alive. Let go of the plans of all those things we had yet to do. Of any anger or hurt or emotion that's bottled up with that person's memory. Until we do, Lamott says, we are stuck. You and I, we have to let go. Which is sometimes easier said than done. And so how do we as people of faith do that? As always, I look to trusted guides, and one of my trusted guides is Henry Nouwen. Amazing teacher, healer, theologian, and a bit of hero for me. He says this. He says the first thing that we need to do is admit that mourning and grieving and giving up all those things is scary. It is scary because at the core it means getting past all the things we do in our lives to find security and control in our human existence. It means we have to be vulnerable and admit we don't know everything and that we control even less. And Nouwen says the only way that we can really and truly do that means relying on God's mercy and God's mercy alone. Each day, Nouwen begins his day in a way that he would teach us. And that is, he gets up and he says, Kyrie eleison. Lord, have mercy. Each day he says that until he feels like he has broken his life open enough that God might come in and fill in those cracks with love. The anthem that the choir just sang is what Nouwen wants us to know and remember and carry in the back of our minds whenever it comes time to let go, whenever it comes time to loss and grief. Did you hear it? The words went like this. There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in God's justice, which is more than liberty. Those words by Weber are amazing, but that tune, that thoughtful and deep and gorgeous melody was written by somebody who knew what God's mercy was all about. Someone who knew more than his fair share of grief and loss and death. It is a tune that takes those words from here and lets them settle here. The music was written by a man named Calvin Hampton. Calvin Hampton was arguably the most gifted organ composer of the 20th century. Hampton watched far too many of his friends die from AIDS before he too died from AIDS at age 45. He set this tune in a way that I think carries both grief and hope. It's a melody that urges us to find and trust that wideness in God's mercy. Trust that to God, the God who was, who is, and who always will be, that we are all alive. Trust that we might grieve and mourn and not get stuck. For when we do, Luke, that gospel writer from the same story, he writes that there is blessing. Remember, he says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The cracks that we open up, just like Nouwen does in our lives through mourning, are filled with God's love so that we might live again. In high school, my close friend and tennis co-captain, Harry, took his life during the end of our senior year. For me, neither the wake nor the funeral were places for me to mourn. The pain was too new, too raw. The fear of letting him go was too strong. The implications for an 18-year-old were too great. It would not be until many months later that I would break down and sob and let all of my stuff go. It was praying on a park bench that I finally trusted in God's mercy and let my own hold of Harry go too. I finally did what mattered,
gave Harry completely over to God's care, to let go of all that I might have done to head off what happened, to let go of all the hopes and dreams I had for him and summer breaks and all those things. And friends would tell me that it wasn't until after I let Harry go that I started becoming myself again too. It's one of the reasons, friends, that a service like this, I think, is so important, that each of us has a chance to cherish and remember and let go of the losses that we carry with us, to do what matters, to trust in God's mercy, and give over any loss that we carry, for God sees all of us as living. So today, in the midst of this service, as we light candles and remember the saints in light, do what you need to do, whether it's laughing or crying, whether it's singing or praying, whether your loss is old or new, do what matters. Trust that to God those who have gone before are alive. Give all of your joy and all of your sorrow to God, that you too might once again live fully and beautifully. As we get ready to honor those who have gone before, I want you to hear again those words of that great final verse. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were just more faithful, we would take God at his word, and our life would be thanksgiving for the goodness of our Lord. Our life would be thanksgiving for the goodness of our Lord. Amen. And amen.
friends, please be seated. And so today we come to this act of prayer and remembrance, a chance for us to remember and honor and love and cherish those who have gone before. There's a common phrase in the Protestant tradition that those who have gone before are saints in light. And so we will honor that tradition by lighting candles for the saints that we know and the saints that are on our heart. Here's how this is going to work. I will lead us into a time of prayer. And then I will name out loud the 13 people who have passed away from this congregation this year, and we will light these taper candles in their honor. When I am done with that, I invite you to name a name or names. And the deacons here, Glenn and Amy, will light these tea lights on this table until our communion table, our source of life for us, is blazing with the saints of light. I'll invite you simply to lift up a name or names when the time comes. Friends, let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. God of birth and rebirth, God of our parents' parents, God of the sparrow and God of the whale, we come before you today in thanksgiving for the gift of life in this blessed community, for the chance to share love and grief, joys and setbacks, glories and humiliations. God, on this wet autumn day, we lift up to you the needs of our world. We lift up the thousands who have perished in the Philippines in the wake of Typhoon Haiyan. We lift up the leaders of our world that they might seek peace. We lift up the sick and the lonely, the vulnerable and the powerful, the slave and the master, that you might be part of healing and wholeness. Today, God, though, we lift up all the saints who from their labors rest. And this morning, we lift up to you the Fitzpatrick family as they mourn the loss of Jane. God, we ask you to open your arms wide to receive her home into your care and into the company of her beloved Jack and all the angels. Today, God, we name before you David McKernan, Allie Holmes, Dee Bronson, Lori Selva, Jan Lindstrom, Ann Brayman, Mita Yukina, Pam Torres, Bob Wilmot, Bruce Wise, Dory Slosek, Virginia Rogers, and Jane Fitzpatrick. And now, God, those who have gathered here, we name out loud and before you those who are on our hearts and minds and those who we lift into the saints of light.
Roger Claiborne.
Ruth and Paul Piotr. Minnie and Irvin Damro. Holy and loving God, we lift to you all the saints of light, those that we have named out loud and those that still remain trapped on the tip of our tongue or in the depths of our heart. Through the veil of our tears, God, and the silence of our emptiness, assure us again that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor human imagination envisioned what you have prepared for those who love you. For all these things and so much more, God, we trust our prayers to you. Through our risen Savior, the one who gives us life eternal, and let us as one body say, Amen. May be seated. Today we honor and give thanks for the saints from whom their labors rest. You and I, we continue to live and toil. We continue to be given God's great gift and bounty. And so once again, as living saints, we consider what we give back to God. From the bounty from which we have been given, what is it that we will dig deep and give back to God? In thanksgiving, in joy, and in gratitude, this morning's offering will be given and received. holy and loving God, bless these gifts and all who gave them to the glory of your name. And let us say with one voice, Amen. Friends, our worship of God here within these walls is drawing to a close, that we might worship God afresh and anew beyond these walls. Before you go, a couple of announcements. First, as always, please join us through these doors in the Jonathan Edwards room for hot drinks, good refreshments, and better conversation. It is a time not to be missed. Next Sunday, we will honor our longest term members. We will honor those members who have been members for 25, 35, and yes, 50 years. I encourage you to be here. It will be a special day. I also am still in need of a few volunteers who might be able to go get some of our 50 and longer term members who might need help getting to church. So if you are one of those people who might be able to spare a ride, please see me after church. Friends, let us close our worship in song. Sisters and brothers, I send you forth with these words from Luke. by the tender mercy of our God. May the dawn from on high break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and to those who sit in the valley of the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of your peace. And let us all say, Amen.